What's up, bass fishing freaks out there? It is March 31st and very, very close to spring. Well, it's actually technically spring, but I just have been severely depressed over the past week and a half. Not in a bad way, but I watched my all old college EWSP severely dominate the Lake of the Ozarks tournament. We took first, second, and fourth. And it was just one of the coolest things I've ever seen, watching all the guys that are like my best friends and my family just rocking it down there. And I mean, it not gonna lie, I was jealous and it did hurt a little bit seeing everybody do so well. But I mean, I couldn't be more happy for them all. And you know, knowing that like Casey, CK, and Toad Jr. and all them guys had like a we had like a st way to start this club. Like back, I was on the club when there was like six or seven guys. Core members, and now it's like up to 60, and it's one of the best clubs in the state, and actually probably one of the best clubs in the country. I mean, we're fourth right now, and I keep saying we, but I don't really care. We're fourth in the ACA standings or Boat US, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna be shooting up real soon. And I got Cody Hunter coming on here. Him and his partner took first, won the Ozarks tournament, and a week ago, he took second on Table Rock in the FLW tournament. So those standings are going to be going up, and we got a club on Kentucky Lake this week. It's so cool to see how much that club has blossomed, and it just when I was talking with Austin a couple weeks ago, and the fact that Northern Anglers are starting to show up now, and I mean, it's so cool to me to know that, like, when I was younger, there was nobody to look up to besides KVD. I mean, obviously KVD is good, but for whatever reason, I just don't consider he's a, I don't know what it is, but some guy from Wisconsin that, you know, grew up on natural lakes and river systems, and it's just really cool to see them applying what they know. I mean, I recorded Cody's, so Cody and I's conversation, and we talked a little bit about before I did this, but we talked a little bit about how like legitimately nothing applies that we've learned up here down south, and you got to start from scratch whenever you're down there. So, in what some ways that's good, in some ways it's bad. But it's just really cool to see that you know, us northern guys are starting to gain prominence a little bit. And I got Cody coming on here real soon. I'm gonna cut this short. Cody, he's one of the best guys, one of the best fishermen I've ever met. I mean, that guy. If anybody's gonna go legit, go pro, and go far, as he dude, he's a one hell of a stick, and I'm always afraid when I'm fishing against him. So I'm gonna cut this off right here and just play that conversation him and I had. Hope you guys like it. And this was my first Skype recorded call. So just bear with me. Sometimes like the loop, it gets a little loopy and a little bit few spots, but hopefully the recording came out clean.
Hello.
Yo,
Hey, what's up?
what's going on, dude?
Not much.
So, don't have to ask how you've been.
Well, pretty good lately.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not bad. Can't complain too much.
I wish I could have a beer with you in person, but
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we officially haven't had a victory beer since we got back, so we had a couple tonight, but
So Table Rock, then Ozarks,
Yep.
asshole.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. Table Rock, Elite Series, they are going to absolutely rock them.
Yeah.
It was out of this world.
What was the deal out there?
Our deal, I mean, we found kind of, you know, in just a, I mean, non-typical Table Rock spot. I mean, it wasn't like a classic creek. It wasn't like a classic, you know, little cove or anything like that leading up to a spawning pocket. It was like a big bay, just a big bay, and there's one little tiny subtle point with just a band of trees around it. I mean, it had to be maybe 25 yards, 50 yards. And we found them, you know, just, I mean, this is typical, just suspended in the trees, just waiting to move up. And it had to be that first wave of fish. But the only way you could get them was, I mean, you could barely reel your reel with an A-rig. I mean, it was
Oh
almost,
yeah.
oh, it was crazy. That, or you take, the only jerkbait that would work was a 110 plus one. and just tap your rod and then just look around and just wait and just start talking a little bit. Just, distract yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, come on, please eat it. And you just feel the lightest bite ever and
No
you got,
kidding.
oh, it was insane.
I couldn't do that.
It was so insane.
I could only,
But
I could do the A ring
it
deal.
was
I couldn't
unreal.
do
Oh
the.
my, it was awful. It
Here's.
was, and oh yeah, I mean, I knew there's a ton of fish in there. I went over it with my graph and it was just loaded with fish. And I'm like, all right, I haven't practiced. Let's just cast a couple times, see they're white bass, crappies, whatever. First cast, we catch a 3-pounder. We're like, okay, all right, this will work. We'll leave it till the tournament. And that was our second spot of the day. And first cast caught a keeper. Second cast lost an absolute giant
Yeah.
on a bait. And then like two casts after that caught like a 5-7, and then started calling instantly. And then turned around, Mark caught like a 5-2, something like that. And then the school just kind of shut down, and we jumped back, we bounced around it a little bit more, and then we left and ran a couple of our other big fish spots. And the best part about it is one of our big fish spots, we were sharing it with, are we live right now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, then I won't say names, but
Okay.
we shared it with a kid who I'm sure we both know from a different school, and I find him to be kind of a tool. But we caught a 4-pounder right in front of him. We caught a 4-pounder right in front of him, and he brought in two. So
Oh no.
that was ultimate. That was great.
Oh
But
man.
it was so much fun.
Yeah, that was just Table Rock then?
That was just Table Rock. Table Rock, it was. Whew,
We're using Colbeck's or AK rigs.
Yeah. We were. Those things are the bomb, man. Those are awesome.
Oh, dude. Yeah, so you guys took second there. Who won? I forget.
It was EKU.
EKU.
You'd recognize them. Yep. They've won quite a bit. They're probably
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they're like 27 years old by now. Something.
That Raymer?
Oh, probably. I forgot what his name is. He's like a short, like gremlin-looking kid.
Yeah. Yeah, then so you guys didn't even go back. You guys just went right to Ozarks.
Yeah. Yep. We went right to
That's
Ozarks.
the first time you ever been there?
Yeah. It was brutal. I mean, that bite was so tough.
Really?
Unbelievably tough. I mean, it was. We got out there, and I figured just doing research and stuff like that. I kind of figured I thought the bite was going to be on in that Gravois arm, which is a northern arm, and then some of the northern cuts closer to the dam. And when we got up there, I mean, shad were like the shad kill was so awful. I mean,
Really?
the entire bank was just washed up with shad. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not. It's just not going to happen up here. We got like one bite. And so we started bouncing around some different spots, and we started working around. We went to the Grand Glaze arm, which is close to the launch. Nothing really happening there. And then we were like, we need to find some warmer water. This is, I mean, it was like 42 or 43 degrees. We're like, this just isn't going to happen. And we went to the Niangua arm, which is like the far west, kind of southwest arm. And all of a sudden, what we got there is like 46 to 48 degree water temps, no shad kill. And it was just on. I mean, the first day of practice, we probably just kind of bouncing around.
Yeah,
We
I
had,
saw a picture you sent me.
yeah, it was insane. I mean, we didn't get a lot. We didn't get a ton of bites, but we probably had 17 pounds in practice. Just kind of, hit a spot, catch a fish, hit a spot, catch a fish, hit a spot, catch a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, by the end of it, we were just, looking most of the time.
Did you guys didn't camp? It looked like from the pictures that are on the website, it didn't look like you guys camped the whole time. You guys didn't camp, you just burned around.
No, I mean, on our first spot, that first day of the
Right by
tournament,
that dock.
yeah, yep, that first day of the tournament, there's one spot, real kind of subtle secondary point, and it was just beautiful. I mean, there's a small trench close to shore, and it kind of flattened out, but in that trench, there was three main giant brush piles. I'm like, well, we didn't fish it in practice, but we know it looks good, so we went over there, and instantly, my partner Mark caught a 3-pounder. I'm like, all right, I put it in the well. And this is about at 8 in the morning. About two casts later, he catches a 4-pounder. We're like, well, awesome. We're in it now. And I proceed, I lost one on a Lucky Craft, which was probably, behemoth. It was huge.
Yeah.
5.5, something like that. And and then we lost one right at the boat, which is about a 3.5. And they kind of quit on us. And so we made a long run up into the river stretch that we kind of, they were looking at other spots, and we were going to go hit some more secondary points, kind of stuff like that. And it just wasn't happening. I mean, it wasn't happening up there. Nothing. I mean, we weren't getting anything going. I mean, it just wasn't happening. And then I just gut hunch. There is a small pocket. I mean, the very far back in this pocket, and it had some deeper water close by, and the sun was just baking the shoreline with a couple scattered rocks on it. I'm like, we got to fish this thing. Just give it a couple casts. Just check it out. Second cast, catch a 6-pounder. I'm like, oh, we stumbled across something.
That's awesome. You guys never even fished it before.
No, and that was brand new water. I'm like, okay, all right, we got to get something going. And before that time, we had two decent fish and one scrub, like a 2-pounder maybe in the boat by about 12:31, and then we caught that 6-pounder. I'm like, all right, we got something going. Let's go check some other stuff out like this. Second spot we hit, this story is completely true. It was the most outrageous thing I've ever done in my life, in my fishing career. So I'm casting out my jerkbait, and most of the hits are coming within, 10 feet of the bank at most. And I'm twitching, doing my cadence, and I go to burn my bait back at the boat. And right before I can see my bait, all of a sudden my rod loads up, and I'm burning my bait. My rod loads up. I'm like, it's got to be brush or something beneath my feet. All of a sudden, it just takes off. I'm like, fish. It's got to be small. The thing surfaces about a 5.25-pounder, has my Megabass 110 stuck in the dorsal fin with one hook. One baby hook stuck in the dorsal fin. Not even in skin, just the webbing in the dorsal fin. We're like, oh my God, this is him. This is him. And I'm not joking, we're chasing this thing around for at least 5 minutes with a trolling motor, because you can't put any pressure on it, otherwise he's going to pop. 5 minutes, we're chasing this thing around, almost gets under dock cables, stuff like that, and within about 2 feet from the dock, he all of a sudden just kind of turns over, Mark nets him, as he goes in the net, as he's about to scoot it up, I mean, my rod goes limp, and I just see it in the net, and I just collapse.
Wait,
I'm like,
it fell off in the net?
It fell off in the net.
In the water?
In the water. That's I'm not awesome. Joking.
Oh,
5-pounder in the net, and we're like, all right, now we got a bag. We're like,
dude, that shit.
I hate it when that happens,
but, people don't realize that shit always happens when you're cranking, especially the fish swipe at it, and it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, and
there's no way it didn't try to hit your bait.
Exactly. I'm like, he must have just, right as I'm just kind of reaction, just kind of pulled up on it, and the only thing that got him was, that one baby hook in his dorsal fin. And
that's so cool. They don't have that on camera, do they?
Oh, I wish.
That'd be sweet.
I wish we had it on camera so badly, because you look at my track after we were done, and it's just like
huge hot laps following around.
And, he's like going into deeper water, like, oh my God. If we can get this in the boat, we're going to have close to 20. Like, and pops out right as he scooped them up.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's unbelievable.
The funny thing is I've actually caught a bunch of fish in the midsummer cranking deep jerk baits.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a subtle, like, weird action that I really like to do that, actually.
It was such a weird, when stuff like that happens, it's meant to be. It's just meant to be.
I've had that feeling before. Like, so day two, you guys pretty much whatever, and then, I know you don't want to sound cocky. Obviously, you're not. I know you. But you just got to know when you got to know when you got the thing won. And after you catch, what do you guys get, 14 pounds?
Yeah, we had like 13.3 or something like that.
And then it was so funny because, like, when I saw Hawksford and Lincoln weigh in, and they both piss pump, and then it says, oh, Hunter needs 8 pounds. And I'm like, I look at you, and you got a just big shit-eating grin on your face. I'm like, yeah. There ain't no way he's... Because they said you guys were culling at, like, one.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I mean, it's cool. I mean, obviously, it's awesome that we all, you know, I don't have to say we, but everybody finished in the top four, which is pretty solid.
It was unreal. But, after that day one, we had three teams in the top three. I mean, the closest person to us was like 2 pounds behind. That's it was so unreal. Cool.
And I think Platteville was like sixth, and they had. Yeah. So, like, there's a bunch of Wisconsin schools.
Wisconsin team.
But, yeah, so how did that feel after that scale bumped up to 13 or whatever, 14 pounds?
I'm like, well, I know we got a solid bag, and that day, too, day two was even a roller coaster. That was insane.
Yeah.
We
looked like it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we had two keepers in the boat at about 12:31 again. I mean, it was such a late day bite with the sun. If the sun came out, it was on. But if it wasn't, it was going to be rough.
That's and odd.
The camera boat left us because they're like, "All right, we got some footage." I mean, they got video of us losing like a 5.5.
So that's good.
I'm like, "Oh, great." He's like, "Yeah, we got a cool fish loss, and we got some fish on film." I'm like, "Oh, thank you." But the spot after they left us, we had two fish in the boat. The first cast on this big brush pile, again, I mean, we went by, we fished it a couple of casts the day before, but we're like, okay, there's a ton of fish here. We got to hit it tomorrow sometime. First cast on that spot, got a 3-pound spot in the boat. First cast. Unhook it, get my hooks out of the net, whatever. Cast back in there, another keeper. Throw them in the live well. Cast back in there, another keeper. Throw them in the live well. It wasn't, I mean, that was not how this tournament was going. You were picking fish off every fifth to sixth spot was how it was. And we pulled up on the spot, and we had to catch, I think we caught 7 solid keepers over, you know, 2.25, 2.5 pounds. Just, and we're like, all right, I mean, someone's really got to sack them, but, I mean, it's possible. Maybe it's 4.5 pounds, it'll bite us, but. It was just that tournament was meant to be.
I was like, just I had goosebumps watching everybody weigh in. I'm just like, oh my god, I just wish I would be there. It was just so cool.
Oh, it was insane. I mean, I'm like, because we're sitting down, they're having us weigh in at the end, and I'm like, I'm waiting for that 23-pound bag to just pull up. I'm like,
that's where it sucks. And you had to know that. I mean, the thing is I've said this before on here, and it's just like, I don't know. I've had tournaments where I've whacked them, and I just had that weird feeling in the back of my head. I'm like, I know somebody else whacked them. But there's sometimes when I didn't whack them that hard, but I'm kind of just like, I think I won. I don't know what it is. There's just a goofy, weird energy feeling.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, you've won your share of tournaments.
And it's funny, too. Like, even just fishing out there, you have that all of a sudden weird... That just that feeling that you got to go fish something different, and
right.
All of a sudden you pick up. I mean, that first or second spot of just fishing your gut, it just comes together, and typically that's how it happens. I mean, look at Randy Howell.
Yep.
I mean, the classic. It's. I don't want to compare myself to Randy Howell. I mean,
not yet. Anyways,
it wasn't even close to the magnitude, but. It was that same sort of feeling where you turn around and you just look at a spot and you have to fish it.
Yep.
And that's totally what clued us in.
That's so cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I've done that before plenty of times where it's just like, especially when you have nothing going, it's way easier. Obviously, it's different because you had something going, so that's even more crazy. But, like, when I remember I'd flip docks, and I'm like, you know what, screw this. I'm jumping out of the dock, start throwing chatterbait, and all of a sudden you just start whacking them. And it's just
But
this is different because you actually had fish where you knew where they were, and you like were like, "Oh, you know what? We're gonna abandon that."
It was
not abandoned, but
it was insane. I mean, it was this tournament. I mean, it was definitely a growing period, and I mean, it was a huge experience. I mean, totally just not so much abandoning it, but growing on a pattern and just feeling confident to just keep
running everywhere.
Yeah, that you've never seen before and having it work out.
That's something that, like, especially with the flurry that you guys had.
Yeah.
And running new water and running a pattern around the lake doesn't really apply much up here.
People don't really
understand that. Like, there's no, like, schooling fish. I mean, there is to a T, but you can't just gravitate towards, like, one piece of riprap and, like, oh, there's a piece of riprap on the other side of the lake. Well, there's probably no riprap on the other side of the lake, first of all.
It's
you can't do that down here, up here.
Different. I mean, you see 20-pound bags being brought in down there, and you think, oh my gosh, that happens all the time, and I mean that's easy to obtain, but it's really, I mean, your day has to go right.
Yep.
That's to happen, and you have to be on something extremely specific, and I mean you got to catch them. I mean, a 20-pound bag down there is like, I mean, a 16-pound bag up here is tough, but that's I mean that's pretty close to what it is down there, especially yeah. those Ozark ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because you really can't compare the two at all.
No,
unless you're familiar. Like, you're pretty familiar with down south now at this point in your college career, and like I've fished a ton down there, and there's no comparison. Like, you pretty much whenever you fish up here, you got to forget everything you learned down there for the most part, and then every time you go down there, you got to just be like, you know what, I'm not fishing in Wisconsin no more. I got to run down there and just learn. The fish up here aren't even bait fish related for the most part. They just are just hunkered, except smallmouth on the Great Lakes, I guess. But
yeah. I mean, it's so different. I mean, like you said, you drop everything you know about Wisconsin and you reboot your system to fishing that lake. I mean, and thing is too, every lake down there is different. Like Ozarks fish is completely different than say Pickwick.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable the different. I mean, Wisconsin, you can normally lose a fish, cast right back at it, and you have a good chance of catching it. Down here, you cast back nine times out of 10, you're not going to catch it. They're just too smart. They see too many nights and tournaments each weekend that it's just not going to happen. It's unbelievable.
Yep, and then you could throw a white frog over 5,000 fish, and if you had like a black streak underneath the white frog, then those 5,000 fish will all bite. It's so odd.
It's so odd. Like even on table rock here, something goofy. I mean, the only jerkbait they would hit was an M-Shad colored 110, and the only swim bait on an A-rig that they'd hit was I forgot what colored, but it's like a greener back with like silver flake on the side, and they would not hit a pro blue color, which had a blue top that almost looked like a shad, but wasn't. Yeah. Wasn't quite there.
It doesn't make any sense.
And that's only
remember that tournament Meta and I fished on Pickwick, and we were doing the exact same thing as you guys.
Yeah.
Except you guys were fishing a baby brush hog, and we were fishing a full size brush hog, and you guys qualified, and we didn't. And we only caught two fish all day.
Yeah. It was. I mean.
And we were fishing the same exact stretch, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's another thing. Up here is sort of easier a little bit at some points, but when people like Gunnersville is not an easy body of water. People see it on TV where they just crack 30-pound bags, but it's not easy to catch 30 pounds down there because you got to figure them out.
Right, and I think that's the biggest misconception of going down south. You see giant bags and you see huge fish. It's like you have the opportunity to catch that.
Yep.
But to catch that, you have to be on your game and you have to know. You have to make smart decisions and be completely on the fish and know what they're doing. Yeah. It's a totally different game down there where you could go out to Wisconsin and maybe stumble across.
Well, you can beat a bank and throw a Cinco and you can catch it. You know.
It's completely different game.
I mean, it's hard to explain to Wisconsin bass fishermen that aren't familiar with down south, and then it's just damn near impossible to describe it to just normal people.
Right.
They're like,
what
are you just fishing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you just pretty much don't even bother talking to them.
Oh, gosh. It was... Oh, it's something else.
Do you guys have any cool travel stories down there? Anything funny happen? Anything bad happen?
God, you don't even get me started. Well, we were in the shop, let's see, twice down there. We took our boat to a local marina in Wausau to get everything checked over, you know, our live oil pumps done, you know, just to make sure the motor was running, you know, typical stuff, trailer lights working. So we picked the boat up, whatever, no big deal, we'll go down there. Turned out the trailer lights don't work after we paid them all this money. We get the boat on the water. The engine won't start over. So we call up, one time this guy in our shop played a trick on one of the other guys and took all the spark plug covers off of the spark plug, so maybe that's it. But otherwise, someone tampered with your boat. what are you serious? Are you kidding me right now? And
they're joking around with your boat.
Joking around with your boat. And we're like, we pulled the boat cover off, and we're like, oh my god, how unprofessional is this place? Every spark plug cover is off of the spark plug. We're like, wow. So we got that figured out. You know, Table Rock went pretty smooth after that, even though our graph was going in and out, you know, no big deal. But, and then we went to Ozarks, and running in practice time, we're running over 50 feet of water, and then all of a sudden we're going about 65, and all of a sudden we just feel the whole prop, or like the whole boat just downshift almost. I'm like, what the heck? Lift the prop up, the entire prop is like torn in half. Hit nothing. We're running over 55 feet of water.
The whole prop.
The whole prop is ripped in half. Like, ripped in half. Running nothing. And, like, oh, my God. Well, there goes $600. just the crazy events that happen. And then,
how did that happen?
He's like, well, this is kind of like a flat tire. And I'm like, well, a flat tire doesn't cost as much, but
it doesn't ever happen. I've never even heard of that.
It doesn't happen.
Unless you hit something.
He's like, yeah, I guess it was some malfunction.
Oh. You're probably joking around with you. One guy took a big weld down the center of your prop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oh my god, it was unbelievable. And then one other story. This is awful. So we're staying, you know, at a typical, you know, Bass Squad hotel
it's
$30 a night at most. And I think it was like $29 a night, and this is at Table Rock. And we paid the guy whatever, and about 2 hours later, as we're doing tackle, he strolls out, and he's like, oh, yeah, and I forgot to tell you this, but we're going to need $10 a night for electricity to plug your boat in. And we looked at him like, no, absolutely not. We are not paying $10 a night to pay for electricity at this place. Even, I mean, it's not advertised anywhere. So the next three nights that we're down there, he's screaming at us at the door, telling us we're gonna have to leave, telling us we gotta pack our stuff and go. And we're like, oh my gosh, guy, just get off our case. And we're like, okay, we called every place around, there's no other place.
It was just
a fiasco, but it worked out all right.
That happens. Go to the Super 8 in Gunnersville, and you'll deal with. He goes by the name of I think Greg, but I don't think that's his real name.
Probably not his real name. Probably being sought out after authority.
Oh my god, that place. We've run into every single thing. He wants us to rent a cot for $15 a night.
What?
Dude, one time when I was driving down to Dardanelle, I was stopped at a gas station.
Yeah.
And then it was in, I think it was either in Tennessee, in Knoxville or something. And I stopped there. Everything was good on the boat. And then as I got back into the boat, my trolling motor prop was gone. Like, the whole prop. Someone just took it off in the middle of the night. I have no idea how that happened. So then I get all the way down there. I had to go to Bass Pro Shop to get a spare prop on my trolling motor just to fish.
God.
It wasn't even on
your big motor. It was on your trolling motor?
Yeah, some guy must have taken my trolling motor prop off. I have no idea what the point was, but it was, like, it was there before I went into the gas station. I came back out, like, 3 minutes later, and it was just gone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Zach and I one time got surrounded by two Escalades
That's great.
South Chicago.
Yep, that's great. That sounds like you know, passing through.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're saying like 10 mile, 9 mile, 8 mile, and we're like at 0 gallons of gas left.
And like, don't you love that happened?
Like, please, Eminem, come and save us or something. I don't know what's going to go on.
Oh, you guys were in Detroit. You kind of like shading on in and out. That's bad.
Yeah, we were in it was awful. That town is so janky. It's unbelievable.
So, do you guys actually have tournaments scheduled for the UWSP? Have any tournaments scheduled this month?
What's going to be our Wisconsin tournament probably will end up being an ice fishing tournament, which is going to be in 2 weeks. But I think that'll
fish in Lake Wisconsin in 2 weeks. It should be some places should be open.
Yeah, we'll see. Floating, we're going to be like Titanic out there. There'll be floating icebergs.
Yeah, it's a really good early spring lake.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Not like 38 degrees or whatever it's going to probably be. But
yeah.
You guys fishing the Wolf?
No, we're not fishing the wolf. It was voted on, but it didn't get voted in.
And what else? But point?
We're not fishing point. We were gonna fish. There's a stretch above Lake Wausau called the Sixth Street Stretch, okay. But it's on Easter and it's just loaded with huge smallies. But that one got voted down. We're not gonna fish a tournament there because right on Easter Day or something like that. But the next tournament will be after that is Winneconne.
Nice.
Do Winneconne, and then
time.
It should be a good tournament. And then 2 weeks after that is Big Green, which should also be about perfect pre-spawn small action.
Nice.
And then from there, I think we're gonna try and squeeze in another tournament which we haven't voted on, and I'm hoping Lake Wausau. That would be
solid.
Incredible.
You fishing the Wausau Wisconsin River Series this year?
I don't think so. I think
oh,
just
really?
Us, I mean all the it's such a local crapshoot.
In yeah, that, I'm fishing it this year with Colbeck.
Which tournaments are you fishing?
I think we're fishing
which
all four.
Okay.
We're going Point and then Wausau and then I don't even remember what else.
Mohawkson and Nicole.
Mohawkson, yep, those two, yep.
Oh, Mohawkson, that's a good one. I love Mohawkson. Mohawkson's great.
Yeah, Colbeck, I can't wait to fish. It's so ridiculous. I'm going up to the Wolf in 2 weeks from now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Just get out.
I gotta get out. The water's gonna be 38, but hey, those smallmouth are stupid.
Yeah, oh my god.
They start biting when the ice just comes off.
Yeah, oh, it's once you find them, it's just cast after cast. It's stupid.
I think that's one of the few there. Lakes I've beaten you at.
I think it is. Asshole. Point. Oh, I hate Point. For some reason,
I point. I have a love-hate with Point. I've fished it so much, and I'm sure, you're from Wausau, right? You've fished it
yeah.
a ton.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that one good stretch, and otherwise you got just a ton of dead water.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
I love that lake, but it's such a weird thing because either it's on or it's not. And there's that me and Colbeck got on that really crazy smallmouth bite last week.
Oh yeah.
Or last year, I should say, not last week.
Yep. Oh, I could hear you guys screaming as you caught like a 4.5 pounder.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's nice.
Yeah.
Sitting on two, bringing two dicks. Like, oh, awesome.
Yeah. Colbeck and I were talking because, he used to be a musky guy.
Yeah.
And I know you used to be. And,
yep.
I mean, you're obviously really good coming out of there, and Colbeck's really good coming out of Point. And, like, I don't never musky fish before, and, like, I've noticed that it definitely translates.
Yes.
As far as bass fishing. I don't know really how to – you probably know better than I do why, but
– I would think, the biggest thing that I've learned from musky fishing is patience and not losing your head.
Yep.
Without a doubt. In those grinder, I would say definitely on pre-fishing days where you're not catching anything and you know that you're just looking for that gold mine and keeping your head in the game and just keeping and like searching for that one specific thing, because I'm used to catching or having 1 to 2 bites a day,
right.
Where, other guys, they look for action. And I think that's one big key. And then also knowing that at any moment, it doesn't matter what tournament it could happen. It can happen. And I think that's another thing that's big with people, where they expect that if they're out of pattern, that it's just going to be coming.
At noon, they'll shut down.
Yep. And I would say that and then losing fish. You lose a muskie in a muskie tournament, that is brutal.
I can't even imagine.
That is...
Losing a whole limit of fish on one
catch. It is. That's, you got two shots in a day. If you lose it, your tournament shot. You're done.
Yeah. You said searching for like that one fish, it's kind of like just searching for that one little pot of fish, like
right.
especially down south.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's one thing I learned. Actually, what helped me the most isn't musky fishing, but like fishing those league, like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night league tournaments where mm-hmm. you got to get a limit in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like you sit back and think, it's like 3 hours is actually a really long time. And
exactly.
that's noon, and if you don't have a bite by noon, chances are most people shut down because they haven't been a bite for 5 hours, but then all of a sudden it's just like, well, I still got three
right.
hours to fish.
Right. And I think that's, even on Lake of the Ozarks, we had two fish, which were, solid keepers, but at that point, you kind of get those mind games going, and It's like, all right, settle down. You've been in this situation before. You've done this before. Keep your head down. Just look at the next bite.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open. And that's kind of what happened when we stumbled across, you know, 8 keeper bites in about 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, well, we got it. We found it.
That's, yeah. But
it happens so many times. I mean, even an example, like, say, on the Wolf River for the Stevens Point Club tournament last year, we had zero fish in the box until 1 o'clock. Zero fish in the box. And all of a sudden, we just kept grinding and kind of searching. You know, fall fish, they stack up so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, find one, you find a couple good ones, you probably found that entire school. And we fished like 20 spots until we finally got one bite, and then all of a sudden, it was insane. Just the craziest smallmouth fishing I've ever seen in my life. Like, we had to have caught 20 fish over 2.5, 2.75 pounds at least.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying, yeah, I just got on a huge mess of giants.
It was just a big smile on your face.
I do remember that. That was cool.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things is just keeping your head down and grinding. I mean, you never know when that bite's going to happen.
Yeah,
and get on them.
100% firmly agree with that. Oh, man. I'm going to be up there this weekend.
Are you really?
Yeah, if you're going to be, or up by you, if you're going to be around, watch a Badger game or something.
Well, Friday is my 21st, so.
Oh, no. I'll be up there Friday night.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well.
Me and Mackie's coming up.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. So beautiful. Me and Mackie are going up there, and then.
Nice.
Oh, solid.
Where are you staying?
I may either stay at my girlfriend's or Jeremy's.
Okay.
But. All right. I'll probably just sleep where I fall if it's your 21st.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Partner's going to be getting a little bit of business here.
Oh, solid, solid. man. All right, man. Well, I'll have you on again. I'm sure you'll win a tournament in the next couple of weeks.
But, yeah.
thanks, dude.
Absolutely, not a problem.
I'll be seeing you pretty soon, dude.
Oh,
happy birthday. Yeah, well, I'll see you Friday, but you won't remember.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see each other Friday, I guarantee it. But this conversation will continue shortly.
All right, man.
All right, well, thanks for having me on. All
right, peace out, dude.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was just as fun to do as it was to, that was fun to do. if you guys want to check out our website, www.bassquadcorp.com. We just added Adam Kolbeck's Bass Bites AK rigs, and they're seriously, I mean, I know it's my buddy and I know it's whatever, but I mean, they're seriously one of the best things I've ever seen. I threw a man's Alabama rig right behind Casey and Adam during Gunnersville, and I don't know if you guys saw the video, but I hardly caught anything on mine. And they're just War Eagle spinnerbaits to me are like the best kind. And the reason the War Eagles are so good is they just use solid components for every single piece of the spinnerbait. And this is the exact same thing. I mean, he seriously puts in time and effort into every single one of them. He's phenomenal paint jobs on all of them. And so check them out, please. You guys buy them. They're on the pricey side. I'm not going to lie, but they're really, really good and they don't break. And some Alabama rigs do break and you don't want to risk, especially if you guys got like Spro BBZs on them or something like that. I just saw a video of, I forget who, but he had all Spro BBZs on. So you don't want to lose, you don't want to break off on one of them. So check those out. Obviously the t-shirts are still available. Been a little slow lately, but if you guys could order them, that'd be awesome. Keep this podcast and keep everything that we do for free. YouTube videos, you guys have been really cool with that. You guys have been watching them a little bit more recently. I don't know why, but thanks. hopefully you're going to have some new stuff coming up. Going to try and get Casey on the podcast. He's just swamped with work this year, and it's just depressing just to think about how much time he spends in the at work. So, yeah, thanks a lot for listening, guys. Peace out. I will be back.